It's Thursday, March 4th, and Christian Yelich has reportedly signed on the dotted line to be a Milwaukee Brewer essentially for life. Does this put more pressure on the Bucks to get a deal done with Giannis? Speaking of the Bucks, the push for 70 wins gets a little tighter, and if the Bucks do make it to the finals, would you rather face the Lakers or the Clippers? And with it being March, we'd be remiss to not talk college basketball. And once again, we find Wisconsin and Marquette heading in opposite directions. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 372. Mitch on the ones and twos.
Dessert.
Charlie here with you. What's happening? The sun is staying out longer. I saw a nice sunset over Miller Park as I was driving in today.
You could almost smell the beer and the brats.
A little bit. It's getting closer and closer.
It is, and the weather has been tremendous all week.
Yeah, great day today. I'm going to be back day jobbing it starting next week.
Yeah.
It's good shit. Excited about that. I said that on another show, but in case you missed that, that did also happen.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a good, everything, the arrow is pointing up.
Except for the college basketball world, yeah. And if the Bucks lose tonight, yeah, it might be a little bit of a freak out there as well. But
they did have a good start. Now we're podcasting right after the game started.
Yeah.
But that's usually a good sign.
Well, yes. And knock on wood. But we are taping as the Bucks are playing tonight. We are also taping before the Badger Northwestern game, although the Badgers are 12.5 or 13-point favorites. So I would be shocked if Wisconsin did lose.
Now, didn't Northwestern get a win over the weekend?
They did.
I believe they beat Nebraska, who's just as bad.
Nebraska's terrible. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock in tonight. Or I'm assuming that the Badgers are going to win some way, somehow. It might not be 13 points better, but it's going to be at least a win. So there's all of that. And the biggest news of the weekend or week so far, and probably going to carry us until LeBron and Giannis on Friday night, is Christian Yelich is a Brewer for life. I talked about it a little bit on Daily Tap yesterday that, you know, the whole offseason, not necessarily was saved, but the sense of urgency that so many people had, that so many people called out that the Brewers need to make deals because you only have 2 years left to Yelich. And then he's going to be gone. All of us just sort of assumed that Yelich would get consumed by Boston, the Yankees,
the Dodgers
even, or Angels. Who knows? Probably not with Mike Trout. But that's a natural progression in baseball, more so than in other sports. At some point, the small market franchises cannot bring home that guy.
Right. They just, at some point, naturally, it's just the way it is. It's the finances of baseball. It's the just the way it's always been. It's the lack of the salary cap, and it's also the fact that small market teams just flat out don't have the resources. And, you know, a lot of us thought, myself included, and I would put myself near the top of this list, thought there's no way Yelich would get $350, and there's no way the Brewers can even sniff that.
Right.
But for whatever reason, Christian Yelich has taken the hometown discount, for lack of a better term.
I mean, you
probably can't even call it that. It's going to be, he'll be making $29 million a year at points in this contract,
right.
I'm sure. But which is, you know, but you could, he probably could have got 30, 35 a year.
I wrote this, that maybe Yelich just is a risk averse guy. We all know those people in our lives that are just like, you know what? I don't want to chance it. What if I am never as good as I was these last 2 years? And now a lot of Brewer fans, I think, would be upset, and that's another story for if we're doing podcasts 3 or 4 years from now.
We're not ready to poo-poo on the contract yet.
Absolutely. We're not there. But maybe he's like, look, I don't know if I peaked, but if I did, why don't I just get the bag, be financially secure for the rest of my life, make sure my mom and dad are taken care of, my family, and everything's good, and I don't have to worry about it.
And God forbid, you know, a superstar athlete thinks like a normal person, for Christ's sake.
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah, $29 million is pretty damn good. I'm cool with that.
Right, exactly.
You know, or $25 million, or I don't even know what exactly. We don't actually know exactly what it is.
I think the figure works out to about $27.6 million.
And like an average annual value.
And I also think, and Will Leach pointed this out on MLB.com, another kind of win in the Brewers column is they did this before the Cardinals decided to make a decision on any of their guys. They did it before the Cubs made their decision on Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. So their rivals weren't able to set the market on them. Yelich was not able to look, say, this is what Chris Bryant got. I'm better than Chris Bryant, and I want this amount of money. That didn't happen. Now Chris Bryant is going to look at Yelich's deal and say, I think I'm better than Yelich. I think I deserve just as much. And I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, we don't really have to worry about it around
right.
here.
It's a non-worry for us. But all of a sudden, now the Cubs and Cardinals are like, we can't necessarily.
Well, who do the Cardinals have that's in that?
I think maybe it's more pitching with Jack Flaherty. You could make the case Jack Flaherty might be in that.
And the Cardinals, I don't sign any of my pitchers. I mean, they always have three or four guys every year. It's crazy.
I don't know if they have a name, but down the road,
I know what you mean.
Down the road, they will have guys that are going to be worth significant money. I'm sure Goldschmidt's contract is up at some point. They got him in a trade. So you're going to have to make.
I think they extended him.
Yeah, they may have. You might be right on that. Regardless, the foot is now on the gas pedal for the Milwaukee Brewers. Probably this opens their window up till, I think, at least 5 years. I think it's a 5-year window of where Yelich could play at an MVP, like best player on the team level. Now, the window could continue, but at some point he's going to decline just like Ryan Braun did. And
right.
I think Ryan Braun gets an unfair rap because, and we've done Braun how many times, Mitch, but Braun is, his PED stuff was not. It was an athlete-driven thing. It was he was trying to make sure his injury recovery slowed down or sped up, excuse me.
Yeah.
And so Braun just declined because he started
getting banged
up. I guess
where he screwed up was he didn't admit that. I mean, clearly the precedent has been set in baseball that if you were caught with steroids or PEDs or whatever you want to call it, you just owned up to it. You made a legitimate excuse. People seem to kind of forgive you for the most part. I don't know if anyone's gotten in the Hall of Fame yet.
No.
But at the same time, people seem to look at you in a different light.
Right.
But instead, Braun kind of went the opposite way. But
it happens.
We're all human.
At that point, PEDs were still so new that I think it's now become a little more accepted.
Yeah.
I think Braun is still the most notable athlete to get popped.
He probably is. I mean, considering baseball. He got drilled like his MVP season, where
right.
it was just like there's a direct kind of correlation
yes.
with him trying to stay healthy and do everything he can to help his team win. And that's the positive spin. I mean, you could say he cheated, but
right.
I refuse to do that
when it comes to
really anything, because I think cheating is so rampant in baseball.
Yeah,
it's
we talked
part of
about
it
last week. I mean, for sure.
I'll say that every podcast if I have to. Because
no, it's fine.
It's just the way I feel, unfortunately.
No, I'm not.
I hate to say I could care less about the Astros stuff, but it's just like I'm tired of it. At some point,
it's like a song that we hear too much on the radio.
Yeah.
We get it.
Well,
that's
at this point, it's the Skip Bayless is the world that need to fill a segment.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they're going to bring it up. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Yelich is now a Brewer for life. And I think, you know, but as I said in, you know, group chat, this doesn't make the Brewers a 95-win team because they have extended Christian Yelich. What it does do is we know where we're at, right? Like, I mean, we know by the time that extension kicks in, Braun will probably be long gone, unfortunately.
Braun will be gone next year.
There's two guys on the books, I think, when that kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what Mark Adonasio and David Stearns can come up with around him that year and, I would say, in the future.
I would even say
in the nearer future.
And I would even say next year, too. And I'd even say this coming July if the Brewers are successful. I go back to the point that
I'm willing to step off the ledge a bit.
Yeah, and I'm also wanting to point out again that the Cubs and Cardinals did not make any earth-shattering moves that put them head and shoulders above the Brewers.
That is very true.
And the Cincinnati Reds scream the baseball version of the Cleveland Browns.
Just desperate.
That's what I look at that team and I just think about sports and how many times we've seen teams do this where they just buy a roster and hope it all works out. And it just doesn't, it never comes to more times than not. every now and again, it works. And
I think that Reds lineup is pretty loaded. I can't. Who's their third baseman?
Suarez.
Suarez.
Look at the bottom of that order. It's not as loaded as you think.
No.
This is when I started to come off my ledge earlier, was I started looking at everybody's lineups and everybody, and I was like,
yeah.
The way I saw it was that everyone has a hole in their offense, in one of their parts, whether it's offense, whether it's starting pitching, relief pitching, there is some hole for each team.
And when you look at, yeah, you put it that way, the Cubs and Cardinals had probably worse off seasons than the Brewers.
Yeah.
It does make you feel a little better for this season. I mean, it's all about winning the division, getting in the playoffs, and at the end of the day. The Brewers, I mean, it's just the issue is the margin for error.
Yeah, sure.
Is kind of not there. But I think the bullpen, if everybody stays healthy and everything goes good, the bullpen should be pretty solid.
Did you read McAlvey's – I talked about this on Daily Tap 2 days ago. Did you read McAlvey's piece about the pitching lab? About
no.
All the weird shit they're doing where it's all on video and they don't let the media sort of see what they're doing and because they don't want their secrets to get out.
Isn't that what,
it's
like,
proprietary information and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's highly confidential.
Totally.
That's funny. Isn't Trevor Bauer doing something like that where he's...
A little bit, yeah.
That dude's one of a kind, I'll say that.
Trevor Bauer is a really interesting guy.
He is.
I don't agree with
that.
He's
on a ton of like
Trevor
podcasts.
Trevor Bauer says, yeah.
There was a podcast pretty recent. It was Ryan Rucco and CeCe Sabathia. I don't know if they do a podcast all the time, but it was Rucco, CeCe Sabathia, Sonny Gray, and Trevor Bauer. And it was just like literally all walks of life. It was awesome. I mean, I watched... It was a YouTube clip of a...
Was this like a mental health thing?
I didn't get to that part, maybe. I don't think so.
I thought I saw something about it. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was just more about the part I watched, the first 15, 20 minutes, listen to whatever you want to call it, was them talking about spring training and like what guys are approachable as starting pitchers, what guys are approachable on start days and stuff like that. It's really interesting.
I will guarantee...
Sonny Gray is he's funny. I don't know. He's goofball.
I will guarantee you I will not like Trevor Bauer probably through... I don't know what the Brewers and Reds play each other. They play each other so much, but...
He hasn't been that great of a pitcher.
He just has kind of that annoying... He has that Chris Archer to him, right? Where everything is someone else's fault. So...
Sure.
And you get annoyed... Like
statistically, he's like Chris Archer, too. He's had one good season.
I had no problem with Chris Archer when he wasn't a Pirate, but then when Chris Archer became a Pirate, I was like... Guy's kind of a prick. I get it. I get why, like, Red Sox fans, Yankees fans didn't really like this guy. And I kind of understand why Yasiel Puig wanted to rip his hat off. I think that was a fight. Yeah, I get it. Like, that all makes sense.
Puig's a free agent, isn't he?
He still is. Just put Puig in Colorado. Just let Puig on the Rockies and let him hit, like, 70 homers.
That'd be the day.
I'm convinced that he would be just incredible on the
He could probably throw one from the far right corner, though, to third base with ease.
With that altitude?
At the altitude and Coors Field.
So our topic at hand, to kind of switch gears a little bit, so now
to bring it on home.
Now that the Brewers have done this with Christian Yelich, the Bucks and Brewers, while a lot of people would say, well, they don't look at each other, they don't care about each other, it's a different sport. Milwaukee is not that big of a town. And people have only limited resources to spend their money. It's why I crushed everybody's hopes and dreams today as hockey is going to be in the Fiserv Forum this December, and I'm like, don't think this means that an NHL team's coming here.
College hockey or something?
Yeah. They're doing a...
Tournament games?
Yeah, the Badgers, Clarkson University, Arizona State, and UConn are coming.
Because the Frozen Four is in Detroit.
Right. And I think part of this, of them showing that they could have a good crowds here, might be to host the Frozen Four down the road, might do some more integrations with Badger hockey. I think it's a natural fit to do a preseason game between the Blackhawks and the Predators.
That has happened in Milwaukee before. Not Blackhawks and Predators, but I believe back when the Bradley Center first opened, they used to have preseason games, I think, like every year.
Right, because Lloyd Pettit, who built the Bradley Center, you know, wanted hockey. It was built for hockey. That was the whole point. And then they could not get out of the contract, and their dream slowly died from there. But to bring it back to Bucks and Brewers, they do care about each other. They might not say they do, but if you had drinks with those guys, they would say, yeah, we fucking pay attention to everything they're doing and we like the support, but at the same time, when we're cooking, we want them to go away, and when they're cooking, I think they want us to go away.
Yeah, I mean, they're competing for dollars.
And so now the Brewers are guaranteed Yelich for the next 9 years. Now, NBA contracts do not work the same way, but now all the pressure goes on the Bucks. I think most reasonable Bucks fans...
As if there wasn't enough already.
Right, exactly. Most reasonable Bucks fans believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a Milwaukee Buck for life or for a majority of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I have said that. I don't think they need to get to the finals this year. What the national media tells you is otherwise. I think as long as they keep winning, as long as they show progress, I think Giannis is going to be there. I do agree, in a topic maybe for another time, about the Bucks. This is the year to do it with what's coming up in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is only going to get more difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think Giannis wants to be the second banana to anybody. That's why the wet dream of him going to the Golden State Warriors has made zero fucking sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I think the argument there is that Steph and Klay have shown the ability to sort of integrate
sure,
a great player.
But who is the man in Golden State even when Durant was there?
I mean, the fan favorite and everything, it's Steph Curry, yeah.
And why did Durant leave? Because everybody people did not like Kevin Durant. And now Giannis is a different guy.
What do you think, KD? What do you think?
I know, but KD is the least self-aware athlete.
One of them, for sure.
Of all time, maybe of all time.
He's like how A-Rod used to be.
Oh, that's such a good comparison. I think you might have made that before.
Where he's like,
so good.
He's a nice guy, but he just can't get out of his own way.
And can't get out of social media.
And right.
Like, he just needs to...
A-Rod fortunately didn't really have the social media.
Thank God.
He would have had a burner for sure.
Oh, yeah. KD just needs to put down his fucking phone and just ignore it. I get, as someone who's a habitual phone user, I understand how hard that can be sometimes, but you just have to... drown out the noise, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for that guy.
Totally.
So, I mean, but he was definitely a villain, and he should know better.
But. Totally. But back to Giannis, I know, and Milwaukee itself is, I think they do know that this does add a layer of pressure. It's not a lot of pressure. It's just a small layer of...
It's definitely the eyes are on them now.
Oh, totally. And Tony Tosa, maybe not a Wally Walkshaw take, could be, well, the Brewers signed Yelich, and why couldn't you get this done with Giannis?
Yeah.
Even though it's apples to oranges.
And it doesn't.
Fans don't care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it physically couldn't happen yet.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's too early.
The only thing that could have happened would be Giannis can say, I'm going to sign it, or whatever, he'd probably get fined for it.
Right, and I think the players' union is probably telling him, like, in his ear, saying, hey, even if you are going to, and who knows, maybe those conversations have happened, maybe they haven't, but they might tell him, even if you're convinced you're going to be a Buck for the rest of your career, or for the next 5 or 6 years, we appreciate it if you do not bring this up, because that is bad for business.
Well, and as far, I mean, in terms of that, Giannis, I guess the one thing Giannis has said about it is, I'm not going to talk about it. And thank God he's in Milwaukee, where there's, you know, a handful of beat writers, and they're not going to poke him and prod him, and you're probably not going to get that many national-type writers around very often to, you know, like, remember Kyrie last year, where it was just something every week where they're asking him dumb shit, and he's answering dumb shit.
I mean, that guy is the has the least amount of self-awareness.
So then are we really worried about Brooklyn in the future with those two guys?
No, maybe not. I think it's going to be a tire fire. But with Giannis, the other part of this, too, is also with the media. He's so nice with the media. He's so respectful.
Oh, and he gives genuine, thoughtful answers to every question, which is like, you almost never see it, which is amazing.
And also, to your point, I think Giannis only cares about basketball right now, and that's why he's not talking about it. That's why he's not even getting poked about it. That's why he deactivated his Instagram account earlier this week. Like,
did he?
Yes. Apparently, according to Reddit.
Well, he got rid of all social media when Kobe died for like a week.
And now after the Harden thing, I think he's just like, you know what? This is too much noise. I gotta block out the noise. I gotta just do me.
Zero Dark 30 or whatever.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like get into playoff mode. Like, this is a big week. Miami didn't go so hot. I'm not going to blame. I talked about it. Miami does not scare me. Tony Brothers could not call a foul to save his soul.
Tony Brothers scares me.
Tony Brothers scares me. Yeah, fuck yeah, he does. I mean, he let Bam out of bio basically, it was assault.
We talked about it on the postgame show. I mean, Eric Spoelstra's game plan against Giannis is he tells his team, hack him. They're not going to call a foul every time down. They can't.
You're right.
So, I mean, just ride him.
The only thing they did that was interesting, and I could see other teams doing it, is when they were shooting the ball, they just ran down the court. So it did not go for an offensive rebound. They said, we're going to give the Bucks every rebound, but we are going to knock out their transition, transition offense. That was the only thing I saw. And now it worked for them because they made 50% of their threes. If they didn't make 50% of their threes, that strategy goes up in flames, no pun intended.
Mm.
But it did for the Heat on Monday because they made all their shots.
It's what our friend Dean calls a double outlier
game. Oh, yeah, totally.
Where the Bucks, for example, can't hit a fucking three to save their life, and the other team shoots 50% on, 37 attempts. And, it's a plus 30 advantage in threes. So, yeah, that second half was pretty ugly on Monday. I mean, regardless.
No question about it. But to wrap up the Giannis Yelich thing, I have no, ill feelings that Giannis isn't going to come back. I don't think that it is going to be an issue for the Bucks unless something goes sideways, unless there are things that I just don't know about and I'm not plugged in enough. But there is nothing that would make me think otherwise. And let me just add this part. If you are if you're a Gen Z listener, I don't know if we have a lot of Gen Z or, young kids listening. You have it so good right now. And I hope you understand that. When I grew up in the 90s, not to just say the 2000s, it was just Favre. That was it. Like,
yeah.
Brewers. I Richie Saxon.
Brewers were a train wreck.
They were an abomination.
And the Bucks were not far behind them for a good stretch there.
You had the Ray Allen years, but then they just took a giant shit on the franchise and said,
go look at a season by season log of the Bucks, and it's just depressing because it goes from a borderline historic franchise for the first 20 years. And then it's just so much mediocrity to terrible basketball for another 20 years. And it's maybe 30 years.
Where do you stand on people, kind of giving Herb Cole a hard time? You saw that, I think, a couple of Bucks Twitter last week, the Ike Bucks account, which I'm not a huge fan of. They tweeted out something about Herb Cole, and then a lot of people roasted them. I think Brew Hoop was fighting with them. Someone else
did not
was.
See this, so I don't really know.
But basically, the point was that we should be thankful for Herb Cole because Herb Cole helped keep the Bucks here.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. It's a great debate. Herb was a horrible owner. I don't think anyone can deny that. But he did do a lot to keep the team here. On when he bought the team and when he sold it.
It's weird how him and Bud Selig are actually very similar.
Yeah, and they're revered.
They are revered by certain people because they helped keep that sport in the city.
Media.
And if there were some other people, maybe they wouldn't have kept the team in the city. But the idea of how they actually managed the team was fucking awful.
Into the freaking ground.
Exactly. So I have a hard time with that. I don't really like Bud Selig. I've talked about it on this show before. We don't talk a lot about Herb Cole because he's not, he's not around anymore.
Yeah, he just.
But it's hard for me to really buy all in on the we should be praising Herb Cole and bow down and kiss his feet.
I agree.
Because I don't think it's the same with Selig. It's the exact same thing I say about Bud.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. It is, but I tend to not like either of them.
Yeah.
Because I try to think like a pure fan.
I would say it's probably 70-30 hate to like, where it's I like that you kept the team.
Now, and because I'm saying I'm not a fan of them as owners doesn't mean I don't like them as people.
No, right.
Doesn't mean I want them dead or something
you're
like
not
that.
Get canceled here. It's
yeah,
fine.
I mean, it's
it's a free podcast. You'll be all right.
That's the thing. It's such a black and white world. It's
Oh, I know.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't like them. It's just they weren't very good owners.
And
I couldn't possibly treat them as deity.
Right. And then act like you'd want them back or like you yearn for the Cole or Seeligers. No one fucking does.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely no one.
Good way to put it. I mean, do you want to go back to that? You know, I mean, no, nobody does. So.
Of course not. And to go back to the Bucks topic or the Bucks at hand, yes, 70 wins might be a little shaky now.
I'm hoping for 69 just for the aesthetics.
69 would be fun. We'd have a good time with 69.
69 for sure. And 13 ain't bad.
I like that. I like the sound of it. The Bucks have a game tonight. We'll see how that goes. And then they play the Lakers.
They damn near hung 40 on the Pacers in the first quarter.
All right.
So.
That's we're pissed off about bad night to be the Pacers.
36-23 after one.
And they go to LA on Friday. There will be a lot of national media hype around it.
Yeah.
The MVP debate will be raging, even though, as I wrote, it shouldn't even be having it.
That has been conveniently turned up this week.
As Ryan Russillo put it, like, what's the argument for LeBron? That he's old and he's like, I don't mean to be insensitive, but like some people are making the case that he's helped the team through the Kobe tragedy. He's like, get out of here.
I mean, it's literally, yes, it's not a lifetime achievement award. And I think the on-court, which is what should be the deciding factor, is kind of a stretch.
Right.
I mean, oh, he's leading the league in assists? By what, one assist a game or something? I mean, it's like, great. He's also got a top five player alongside of him that he can just lob it up to.
It helps. It helps. And we'll see.
Not that Chris Middleton hasn't been tremendous this year, because he has.
He has.
Probably a top 15 player.
It's going to be an awesome game on Friday night. I'm very excited for it. I think it is... As we talked about last week, one of my top three of games I'm most looking forward to.
It's a little late for some of us to be as fired up as I'm going to have to get in that game.
That's what alcohol is for.
We got to keep the decibel level down.
That's what alcohol is for.
We got to keep the nerves down. We got to keep the
go visit my friends.
The emotion down.
Go solo bar it at my friends at O'Sullivan's. Not an ad on 124th and is that North?
Could be.
Great bar. If bro is working, tell him Charlie sent you. I don't know if bro still works there, but that was years ago. But he's one of those guys that seems like a lifer. Be a good crowd, you know, Irish month. It's a good place.
Okay.
So if you look, you know, take a little Uber, go out there. It'll be like a $5 or $6 Uber for you.
Nice.
Just a suggestion if you're worried about waking your neighbors up at 9:30 at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, in reality, I'll probably sit on my couch like I always do and just...
It'll be late. It is a late game, but I'm very excited for it. I think that LeBron is obviously going to turn it up because of what happened in Milwaukee and the whole crown gift and everything like that.
Yeah.
There will be a element of LeBron wants to shut up Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it's well known, at least maybe in the internet circles, that LeBron... I don't think really likes Giannis.
Yeah.
Because Giannis doesn't necessarily get down with him. Giannis isn't part of clutch. Giannis does not want to work out with him in this summer. Giannis and him are not exactly just chummy. That Giannis would prefer if they kept their distance. Mm-hmm. That is not how LeBron does it. Look how he embraced Zion. Although he hadn't really talked a lot about Zion, which I did not know this until Simmons podcast on Monday, that clutch wanted to sign Zion. And Zion's parents wanted him as far the fuck away from clutch as possible.
Good.
So LeBron doesn't exactly get down with Zion.
You hate to see it.
Zion either.
I'm smiling ear to ear right now.
Yeah, you can tell it through the broadcast.
I hate LeBron. I mean, I do. I'll say it.
I will say this. What's become interesting is I have ridden the roller coaster of hate with LeBron James. When LeBron James started out, I fucking hated him.
Okay.
Because I really didn't like the fact he called himself the king and he had not won a goddamn thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I did not like him. And then there's things written on Chuck's Corner about this. I started to kind of be okay with him, even though my roommate Brett Boyer at the time was the biggest LeBron stan before the word stan was even a thing. I think he would write love letters to him, kind of like what Eminem, the Dido video, the stand.
Yeah,
video.
Right.
That's exactly. Does a call and wondering why.
The Brett I know is dear LeBron and Peyton Manning.
Dear LeBron, I watched you today in Cleveland Cavs. I was wearing a red jumpsuit. You may have seen me.
One thing I want to say before I forget is that this LeBron and Giannis debate is kind of like, it's like the final boss for us Giannis stands.
Yeah.
To face the LeBron stands on Twitter, where it's just like the Harden shit is like a mini boss. And now it's like, this is the big boy.
That's a good point.
We got to take down the, you know.
What's the name of the Sonic the Hedgehog boss? Come on, you're a video
game guy.
Starts
with an R, but yeah.
You're a video game guy. You need that.
I could probably look it up in 2 seconds, but that's basically it.
It's like Bowser. It's like Bowser. You know, you deal with the other guys, and then you're facing Bowser. I didn't know the Sonic one. I sprung that on you.
Dr. Robotnik.
That's LeBron right there. It's
a very overwhelming, and it's just people that are just impossible to, you know, get through to.
Oh yeah, those people,
and they're everywhere.
I think I saw something today because I now get interested when things are trending. I don't know why I started doing this, but I'll start seeing people trending, and I'm like, why the fuck are they trending? And then everybody does the Denzel Washington gif, like, oh, I saw this name, and thankfully he's not dead. It was Bo Jackson. And some people were saying that LeBron was like one of the best athletes they've ever seen. And people are like, do you remember what fucking Bo Jackson was like? Or Deion Sanders?
Or Herschel Walker?
Or Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Like, those guys are all better athletes than LeBron. And LeBron, yeah, good football player. But Bo Jackson played two professional sports at the same goddamn time.
Yeah.
And was really good at both. He was an all-star and I believe a pro bowler for both.
Until he had a catastrophic hip injury, right?
Yeah, and I think if it were today, maybe that hip injury isn't as bad. Tracy McGrady even talks about how, like, if science was better today or where it was today, my knee injury might not have, you know, kept me out of playing forever.
T-Mac?
So, yeah. And that just a... medical has come such a far way that a lot of these athletes that we lost the injury, that doesn't happen anymore.
And I think trainers are just unbelievable.
Right. And
I mean, Suki Hobson for the Bucks has got to be one of the best.
Yeah, and I think she won an award last year for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, 20, 30 years ago, trainers are probably smoking cigarettes on the on the bench.
Yeah, and for the NBA, it started with Steve Nash and the Phoenix Suns because the Phoenix Suns figured out ways to fix Steve Nash's chronic back issues, and they made him into an MVP. They helped him become an MVP.
Wasn't it Grant Hill they kind of resurrected
and
him
Grant
at the
Hill
end?
Too. I mean, they had a bunch of guys, and when Amari Stoudemire was another one where they, you know, worked with Amari more, and Amari didn't have as many injuries when he was with the Suns.
Yeah.
As he did with other teams. But yeah, I mean, the Giannis stuff, Giannis versus LeBron is going to be fun. And the Bucks winning just takes off pressure for the Twitter and bloggers of the world and all that shit. So you get less annoyed. Because if LeBron does win, it's going to be a really annoying fucking week, 2 weeks on Twitter. It is going to be insufferable. The takes are going to be rampant and hot.
I guess this might be one time where I'm glad the game's buried in a Friday night.
Yes.
But if LeBron wins, you know that it's going to be a big deal.
Unless.
And if the Bucks win, it's not a big deal. It's just another game.
Unless the Lakers lose to the Clippers on Sunday. The Lakers play the Clippers on Sunday.
Wow, Lakers get Bucks and Clippers.
Yeah, back to back. So that will probably be the game they talk about, and the only way the Bucks get looped in is if the Lakers beat both the Clippers and Bucks on the weekend. If that happens, people will go crazy. Mm-hmm. It will be LeBron Laker hyperdrive push down the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose both, well, are the Lakers ready for the big scene? Are the Lakers? And right now, the Clippers
are they good enough?
Clippers are hot. I would say the Bucks are kind of. Right now, and you ask yourself as a Bucks fan if
the
you
Bucks
do,
are kind of, I mean, they only win like 12 out of 13 every stretch of the season. So.
I'm just saying their offensive rating is not
well. They
great.
Had they
in
had
the last
two
seven, in the last seven games. Their offensive rating is near the bottom of the league. It's not good. Lakers actually isn't that great either. Defensive rating, no. They're number one. They've been number one more times than not this season. But offensively, it hasn't been great.
Well, Lakers are stuck in 2012 a bit, so.
Right. And I think if you were to ask me, Would you rather play the Lakers in seven games and deal with LeBron, deal with the referees that come with LeBron, or Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Doc Rivers? I think I'd rather deal with the Lakers. And it's partly to your point,
really,
to 2012. I know the refs would be very one-sided.
The officiating would be tough. It's LeBron. LeBron would be insufferable in a series.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anthony Davis would be right behind him.
But
here's my thing with the Lakers, though. I do think they are more worried about the officials than the actual game sometimes.
Absolutely. They get in their own heads. If they don't get their calls,
they are crying, they're flopping, they're staring at the refs, they're not getting back on defense, and that plays right in the Bucks' hands. Thank you very much. But again, you know, seven games of Kawhi, we saw what happened last year. I mean,
right. And
scary.
Montrezl Harrell has been a Bucks killer. Montrezl Harrell being an undersized guy has created some havoc for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, he just doesn't stop. So it's right. Like, it's every time down, the guy is just a beast.
And Pat Beverly, you know, he's a type of player that could really get into Eric Bledsoe's head. If you look at a guy,
I wouldn't even play Eric Bledsoe.
Completely take Eric Bledsoe out of a series, Pat Beverly would be that guy. Bledsoe actually, I think, plays better against the Lakers because he is a clutch guy. He wants to show LeBron up. He wants to kind of show LeBron, like, hey, if ever you want me to come join you, just say the word, man.
Yeah.
And maybe that's looking too far into it, but I do think that Bledsoe is more comfortable than if you're dealing with Beverly. The other part of it is the coaching. Frank Vogel has not coached past the conference finals in his career. Doc Rivers has coached in the finals. Doc Rivers won a finals. So I worry about that.
Bought and paid for finals, I might add.
Which one?
Celtics.
Oh, yeah. They.
I mean, sure. People forget that, you know, they got Kevin Garnett for nothing. You know, Ray Allen in a trade as well.
You got to look back, though, at how good Paul Pierce was that season.
True.
I know people kind of lose sight of, like, how Paul Pierce was a legit top five.
Paul
guy
Pierce is the just another guy in a long line of NBA guys that are ruining their legacy by being on TV and saying stupid shit all the time.
Gotta make that money, boo boo.
I know,
but with the Lakers, going back to them, I think their size actually helps the Bucks because Anthony Davis has not shown that he's able to handle Brook Lopez. He's struggled against the Bucks in that capacity. You have Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, that all keeps Brook Lopez on the court. And also, if they get matched up on Giannis, Giannis is too quick. Mm-hmm. Giannis can run right by all of those guys. And I don't think Anthony Davis is that great of a defender. He's a hell of a shot blocker. Don't get me wrong. But I don't feel like Giannis is stifled when he goes to the lane because Anthony Davis is still a little bit of a beanpole. And I'll also add to my point, yes, LeBron has had big moments. Danny Green has had some big moments. But please inform me on when Anthony Davis' big moment in the playoffs has been.
Yeah.
Now, he might get seasoned, and by that time, it might be there. But I would rather trust that Anthony Davis not showing up versus Kawhi and Paul George. I've seen Kawhi and Paul George have massive playoff and swing playoff games and swing series. So I don't really want to fuck around with that.
Yeah. Paul George has had a rough few years in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
Lately. He had the whole Joe Ingles thing. I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of the Indiana years.
Right.
I mean, he had some good... I mean, he went toe-to-toe with LeBron.
Yeah, those Indiana teams are pretty good.
Yeah, he went
toe-to-toe. They weren't Cavs good, but they were... Or Heat at the time, yeah, right?
Yeah,
Miami Heat.
It was Heat. Coached by Frank Vogel.
Obviously, it wasn't Big Three Heatles good, but they were, you know, George Hill, Lance Stevenson, Paul George... David West, who you do not want to see in a dark alley.
No.
And Roy Hibbert, who was like... Roy Hibbert, who was basically, you know, he was the what you wanted out of a center at the time.
Yeah, poor Roy Hibbert. He got clowned. They replayed the Kobe game when he had 8.
He just forgot how to play basketball.
And people were just clowning Roy Hibbert that entire time. And, man, catching stray shots like 3 years later... It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Those Pacers teams are pretty good. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. And Paul George was pre-leg injury as well, probably. So,
it was, yes.
You know, I mean, yeah. I think you might have talked me into not wanting to see the Clippers. They're freaking deep, too.
They're deep, and they seem like they're starting to kind of figure it out. I was really impressed with how they went into Oklahoma City and won by 15 points yesterday. They play the Rockets Thursday night, I believe, tonight. I think that's the late game. Rockets, Clippers. Might be the early game. I can't remember. No, it's the early game. It's the early game. But that's a hell of a game. And that's one to definitely keep your eye on if you are a Bucks fan. Because, A, I'm fascinated to see how the Rockets do against a team like the Clippers. And, B, I'm interested to see if the Clippers can kind of keep that up.
Get Raptors and Warriors for the late game.
But that's, and that could be the return of Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And which I think the NBA and TNT would both appreciate if the Warriors could do them a solid. Although they are on ABC on Saturday night against the Sixers. So they.
And then the following Saturday against the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. That's ABC, Warriors, man. That has to hurt.
Yeah.
Got to figure that out. We've talked about it before. Got to figure that out.
Yeah, definitely.
To wrap up the show, it is March Madness season. It is. We're getting closer and closer.
We could give you some audio, but we'd probably get this podcast shut down if we did the old theme song. Yeah, that's the one.
So getting excited. Brackets will slowly be here. I know that a lot of you are paying attention.
I feel like I've been more plugged in on college basketball personally than I have been the last couple of years.
I was going to make a comment that I've gotten a few text messages from you about different college games that you're watching, mostly Marquette and Wisconsin, and I've been impressed.
Me having the dual screen setup these days is going to be big for that coming down the stretch here.
Yeah.
Because if I don't have two games on, I can do, you know, play vids or something and have a game, keep one eye on the other TV. And that's going to be big for college games where I can just kind of see what's going on, kind of figure out who the players are a little bit better. And, I've been watching the last, you know, all season, really. I mean, I've seen a lot of Marquette and Wisconsin games.
And what a difference a month makes. A month ago, we were talking about, is Greg Gard on a hot seat? Is Greg Gard lost control of his program? Has Greg Gard, you know, what's
hashtag
the
fire guard?
Yeah, the turmoil around.
They were 5-5 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the turmoil around the program was significant. Brad Davidson hit that guy in the nuts, gets suspended for Michigan State.
Kobe King left the program. You had a trainer using racial slurs apparently at practice.
And now I wonder if Greg Gard is going to win Big Ten Coach of the Year. I mean, the work he probably Rutgers.
A lot of people seem like it.
Probably
him or Rutgers. But
Steve Peichel or Pat Chambers from Penn State has also done a really good job this year. They're all deserving, but Greg Gard basically flipped this thing, and a lot of people are, yeah, Greg Gard might not be the most well-liked guy that we'll ever see, but it seems like he knows how to coach. He knows how to get his guys ready to play, and maybe he's not at that Bo Ryan level yet, but you also have to remember about Bo Ryan is Bo Ryan was kind of considered a choke before the final couple years of his career. How many times did Bo Ryan get to the Sweet 16 and then fall apart or have a good seed but then lose in the second round? I mean, Bo Ryan wasn't exactly that dynamite of a coach
tournament
time.
Until he had a great team.
Yeah, he was great in the regular season. He was a premier regular season coach. Greg Gard, I'd argue, so far has been better. I mean, they nearly went into the Elite Eight, if not for Chris Chioza hitting a game-winning three against them. They've sniffed the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and they look like a team who could do it again. And obviously for the Badgers, it'll depend on their draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's matchup driven a lot.
It's for a lot of teams too. It's rare that some team, it's like, hey, they.
But I think Wisconsin plays such a unique style of basketball that, yes, I mean, there are certain cases where, like, that's just a terrible matchup.
Right.
Marquette got a bad matchup last year.
Yeah, with John Morant and
where he just was the best guy in the court by a mile.
Things were going Hayward. The other thing, Haywire, not Hayward. The other thing that's nice for Wisconsin, given that they're a large university who travels well, two of the locations are New York and Los Angeles as the destination. So you have that ability of
to draw a crowd.
And Indianapolis. So New York, Indianapolis, if you avoid Houston somehow, which Houston, fair, you could still travel there. Still easy to get there.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles, Indianapolis.
And Indy's like 6 hours from Madison.
Angeles, Indy, and New York would have a swath of Badger fans. Yeah. A huge amount of contingency. So if they do get to that second weekend, there would be somewhat of a home court feel to it. And I think they have the ability too. I think the combination, they have to shoot the ball and they have to, you know, be on from deep.
They've been shooting the ball well.
Right. Aleem Ford has been huge. He's kind of taken over Kobe King's role, and it's kind of freed him up. I don't know if he was hesitant. I don't know if it was just that he wasn't getting the looks because King took some of his looks, but that has really helped him.
I feel like Micah Potter has been big for the Badgers.
Micah Potter doesn't
I didn't realize that dude was 6'11 until about a month into his career.
His defense isn't great, but offensively he is
dominant.
The perfect kind of guy you want for today's basketball. He can shoot the three. He can take you in the post.
Right.
He can kind of do everything.
Well, and Reavers too. So, you can play those guys together, I think.
Yeah, they haven't used them together partly because I think defensively it just doesn't work.
They haven't used them?
They really don't. They really don't want to use them together.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't, but I'm saying if in a tournament situation where you have to have maybe Aleem Ford has a couple fouls in a game where you need your best players, I mean, that could be. But the Wall kid, he plays probably a little bit too much right now.
Yeah, probably. But that's, I think, a causation of the fact you don't have Kobe King. The other thing they have to figure out is if you look at Brevin Pretzel's home road splits, dude has been awesome at home. Like, he has been so good at home, and he's just been trash on the road.
I feel like you could probably say that about Demetric Trice.
That was sort of the thing about the Badgers, and then they started winning on the road. I mean, the Michigan win was really impressive. They won when Ohio State was one of the best teams in the country, and at this point,
that was a Friday night game as well.
The Badgers weren't necessarily
they shit pumped Nebraska, and they shot the ball really well.
Yeah,
which maybe that's an effect of playing Nebraska.
Yes,
but I feel like that kind of springboarded them a little bit too.
Oh yeah, totally.
And that was like 3 weeks ago,
and that has been they've came down to the wire with the team. They should have probably won on the road against Iowa, and that's when the wheels were starting to fall off. So this Badger, the Big Ten tournament is going to be one of the best ones in terms of must watch. I think in any order, it's the Big East, it's the Big Ten, and the SEC. I think are probably the three. Pac-12 too is actually really good this year in terms of top to bottom. I think those are the four to care about. ACC, you have the big names, but those teams aren't really that good.
No.
But those are the ones to watch. If you're looking for like, hey, I want to consolidate my college basketball viewing, that's what I'd say. And as a
I think the parity in the Pac-12 is there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Oregon's good.
UCLA is all right.
Arizona.
I mean, the turnaround by Mick Cronin is probably better than what Wisconsin has done. It's been kind of crazy that college basketball has had multiple turnarounds here in February. You've had Wisconsin. Providence has made a crazy, crazy turnaround. Texas had another win last night on the road against Oklahoma. They've turned it around. Shaka Smart, no longer on the hot seat. And you had UCLA, which I think no one expected UCLA to be where they are today. But as for other sides of it where you go downhill,
we're avoiding it.
No, we're not avoiding it. I just wanted to gas up the Badgers because they deserved it. And I talked all about Marquette yesterday because Marquette Twitter has basically had it out for Wojo. The Fire Wojo hashtag is live.
Have we gotten to we're not Fire Kid levels, are we?
Maybe not there yet.
Nobody's made a logo that.
No logos. We are kind of like at a low flame right now. If you turned on your stove, we're at like a low to mid flame. I think for some, it's like all the way over.
You're like a four.
Yeah, they're like a four. I would say that. So I said on the podcast, weirdly enough, on Monday, I said, "Look, I think he needs some time. I think he's a young coach." I think the fact that he doesn't have any other former head coaches on the sidelines really hurts him. I think that is a factor. I just think he doesn't have a guy telling him like...
Doesn't have a guy to look to?
Yeah, you're pushing these guys too hard. I think that's part of the issue too. I talked about that a couple weeks ago, that maybe they're just practicing too hard. And the other part of it is he doesn't trust anyone because he wants to be that floor general still.
Yeah.
But he's the fucking coach.
And he has Andy Reid levels of late game management, clock management.
And who knows why that happens. And so there are a lot of factors for why a lot of people are turned off by the idea of Wojo. A lot of other people think he's a fake tough guy and thinks that he just tries too hard and wants to, make it look like he gives a shit when really it's like, it's fake. It's a PJ Fleck like sort of fraudulence.
Facade. Of
much, much better word than what I think I just made up a word.
Fraudulence.
Fraudulence, yeah, I don't think that's where it
might
be. But regardless, Wojo needs to beat St. John's on Saturday. That is a absolute must win. I've said it on written and
is that here?
No, it's in New York, where Madison Square Garden has not been good to Marquette. It is the most important game in Steve Wojciechowski's career. Steve Wojciechowski wants to kind of turn down that flame just a touch. Won't be a lot. They'll be there. Because if you do win that game, you avoid playing the first day of the Big East tournament. You avoid the seven seed. Marquette will be locked into a 6 or a 5. I don't think a 4, depending, because they're lucky and they beat Xavier and Butler twice, and that's who's right there in the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So they have tiebreakers against both, and conveniently enough, Butler and Xavier play each other on Saturday. So basically, you're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more frustrating, or what kind of makes you want to pull your hair out, is you wouldn't want to say it's house money, but you would have said if you lost this game, it's not the end of the world. Had they beat DePaul,
had you just beat DePaul,
and they just fucked around. And right now, Payne Touch has had this. Wojo is 3-3 against DePaul. The rest of the Big East, do you want to take a guess at what the rest of the Big East record is against DePaul in that time frame?
Like the average, or I mean,
no, the overall record.
I'm sure it's pretty damn good. I mean, it's probably like a 600 winning percentage.
36-12. and he's 3-3. That's big yikes. That is a big, scary.
Yeah. Well,
what do you do?
DePaul was better last year, right? I think there was a year where.
Nah, man. They were good half this year, and then they just fell apart. They didn't even have their best player yesterday. I don't want to talk too much about it because I did yesterday, but it's like, it's crazy. It's just, it happens one year, you're like, okay, it's the group of guys.
Well, sometimes there's, you know, just that team or that, you know, coach that you just can't beat, or, I mean, you just struggle with.
Sure, you have a bad matchup. That's fair, but I think it's more the fact
like the Bucks and the Heat.
You've lost, you've lost 5 out of 6.
Just can't win there to save your life.
You've lost 5 out of 6, and I think a lot of people are fed up and thought this year would be different, thought that they were kind of going to defy the odds of the Housers, but they haven't. So we'll see.
Well, and I think they missed those guys.
Oh, sure. No question about it. And a lot of people, from what you talk about, the reason they left was not Marcus Howard. It was the guy on the sidelines. So,
couldn't stand Wojo.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Hmm.
Maybe not for Joey, but definitely for Sam.
Not good.
Yeah. Not when Sam was going to be maybe an NBA player. Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Now he has to sit out a year.
Yep, and it'll be awesome for Tony Bennett next year, though.
Probably.
They could have used him this year. Although,
and the other one's at Michigan State, right?
Yeah, and he'll be there next year, too.
Yeah.
Michigan State coming on hot down the stretch here.
They are.
They beat Penn State on the road yesterday. I was very impressed.
Michigan State is going to be a sexy pick. I mean,
oh, yeah. They have the
senior leader guard. People like Xavier Tillman, even though he can't finish around the basket.
I hate watching that guy. I never see him make a shot.
Never have either.
I've also bet on Michigan State so much, Mitch, on the road, and they have just cost my ass so much money.
Who's better at finishing around the basket, Theo John or Xavier Tillman?
Xavier Tillman. But
not by much.
But yeah. I had a really bad joke lined up for Xavier Tillman, and I'm gonna cut myself off and going to say goodnight. I'll tell you it off air. But for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Have yourself a good rest of the week. Gambling hour tomorrow.
Stay safe this weekend.
Get you ready. Yeah, oh yeah. Shuffle this weekend. If you are still doing it like a crazy person, like my friend Mitch Ross, say hi to him.
Yeah.
But also,
if you're going to be out in those streets, you got to be.
Be careful.
Yes.
I will be people watching you in my suit at Good City while I'm at a wedding reception. Don't say hi to me there.
Please. No.
All right. See you.
Peace.
Bye.